You say, I don't think that can happen. Well, I'm getting ready to show you how it happened right here. Twenty twenty. God bless you for coming. Come on back next Sunday and bring somebody with you. Tell them we're gonna have church, going to preach the gospel, going to have an altar, have a wonderful time in the Lord. And all right, I want to talk to you about a lesson. I won't hold you real long this morning because this will probably take more than one Sunday. But I want to look at this lesson in the 20th chapter, and I want us to think about ourselves when we go through this. That's really the best way to read the Bible, is to look into it as a mirror and see yourself and try to relate to what's been said, apply it to your life. The situation here is, Jesus had just told about how he was going to go up to Jerusalem and die. Now, I want you to get this. Y'all stay with me. This has been on me for a couple of days, 3 or 4 days. Jesus had just told his disciples about the death he was going to die. And now, this don't even seem like it ought to fit. But I want you to notice what these two boys and their mother did and said and their attitude. Now, this lesson is about what is commonly called, the two boys had a nickname. They called them the Sons of Thunder. That's what their names are, James and John, the Sons of Thunder. Now, I don't know where they got a name like that. I guess, you can imagine. Well, they came up to Jesus, and their mother came with them. Her name was Salome. Is that how you say that, Salome? Now, there's so many lessons in this scripture for us personally. But I want you to notice, before I get into raking these people and showing you their problem, I want you to know James and John were two of Jesus' close followers. They weren't heathens. They were two, and really, they were two of the inner circle. If I could say it like that. You know, when he got three men to go up to the Mount of Transfiguration, who did he get? Peter, James, and John. Now, they were men of prayer, and since they asked the Lord, and they had faith in the Lord. I'm not saying they didn't love the Lord, but somewhere in this relationship, they developed a bad attitude. Now, here's what this told me about this lesson. If they, being close to the Lord, could get the wrong attitude, I've probably got potential to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Now, let's read. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children. That was the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Now, this is Zebedee was their father, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Oh, hallelujah. Now, that, my friends, sounds like a great Christian, and I'm not saying they're not, but I want you to notice, they came to Jesus, amen, desiring a certain thing and worshiping him. How many of you came with that in your mind this morning? How many came desiring something from the Lord this morning? You're not wanting to vote because you're afraid I'm going to hit you after a while, but I'm not. I'm going to show you how these people, amen, they came to Jesus, and with what they asked, it exposed a character flaw. Now, brother and sister, let's listen. She said, I desire something of you. And the Lord Jesus said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, now I want you to look at this. This is mother. This is mother of two grown men here that have approached the Lord, whom they believe is the Son of God, and who he just told them he was getting ready to die on a cross and be betrayed. And right in this same context, here they're asking a favor of the Lord. It seems pretty flimsy to me. How many knows where this goes? What is it you want? And she said, well, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Amen. Now, did I title this message wrong? Does anybody see people close to Jesus with a bad attitude? You say, well, all right, let's look at it just a minute. Okay? Now, first, I want to mention this, and this is probably enough to get me in trouble. I won't have to go no further than this. But notice how sometimes, now this is real important. Notice that she was more interested in her two sons than anybody else. Did you notice that? Well, that's only natural, Brother Randy. Yeah, it is very natural and sensual and carnal. Amen. And really, you say, well, was it her idea? Now, I want you just to picture this. You know, here's a mommy, two grown sons. But I really believe, Brother Noah, they put her up to it. I really do. You read Mark's gospel, it don't even mention Salome. It mentions them alone coming and asking. But, you know, they used her, amen, because she probably had a good, you know, a relationship with the Lord. And that's what they wanted, their desire. Amen, was to be at the chief place in the kingdom. Now, what, you know, say, well, what's so bad about that? Well, what about their brethren? What about Peter and Matthew? And what about their feelings toward them? Oh, I know this is going to go over. I feel it going straight over. Huh? Now, let me deal with this right here before. Notice her feeling. Now, let me ask you. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting the success and the victory for your children and your loved ones and your husband, your wife, or your relatives. But I'm going to tell you, when your loyalty to your relationships puts you in contradiction with God, then that's not the right attitude to have. You pastor a church, you learn this. You learn if you got to be careful sometimes if you get on people's children. Ooh, Katie, bar the door. That's about as bad as getting on their money. Huh? Real close. Huh? Now, and you got to watch this. Amen. If something is wrong in someone else's children, it's just as wrong in yours. We can't have a double standard. Now you're not getting it. You didn't see this in this text, did you? I saw it right off the bat. Here's a mom that has aspirations for her two boys. I want them to sit one on your right hand and one on the left. Now, us just looking at her, how many think she was just a little bit narrow-minded about her request, amen, her two boys to be elevated above every other human in the whole wide world? How many thinks that was just a little bit much? Huh? Now, you want your kids to go to heaven. Hey, you watch. And one of the things, I feel like preaching. This is so important. You see, listen, here's the message this morning, children. Amen. We cannot just claim to be close to God and still garner a bad attitude. These two disciples and their mother had the wrong idea about the kingdom of God. Amen. And they'd follow the Lord as much as anybody in the whole place. Amen. But you know, it was that natural craving. Hey, come on now. Even I've seen loyalty. Look, there's nothing wrong with loyalty to family and husband and wife and children and having a loyalty and a idea to defend them because they carry your name. But if you have to cross the line of what's right to be loyal to them, amen, then you can't be loyal to them anymore. Am I right or not? A lot of times we want our kids to be blessed when they're not blessable. Are you hearing me preach? Oh yeah, we might bless them and overlook, but we want them to be elevated and promoted, amen, and we don't worry about, amen, anybody else. We're focused on that one thing, and I've got to hurry on here, amen, but you know, it was almost like, amen, all that mattered to her, amen, was that her two old boys got the prominent place in the kingdom of God. Now, I know I might be painting a terribly wrong picture there, amen, but Christ, he let them know right in the beginning. You know what he asked her? He asked them, can they drink of the cup that he just told them, the cup that he was going to have to drink, and he knew in his heart that she did not have the right concept of what it meant to sit on the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. In other words, are they willing to pay the price to sit where you want them to sit? And can I tell you this morning, brother and sister, I want my children to go to heaven. But if they go, they'll have to go like everybody else goes. Is that right or not? Boy, this is tough, but I want you to notice. Amen. The attitude she had toward her own blood relation. Now, there was some errors here. Amen. And one of the big errors that I want to mention before I close this morning is, and here's the whole lesson, and I'm going to point out a few things that was wrong with this situation. But the thing I want you to get this morning is the danger of being close to Christ in a relationship as they were and still have the wrong attitude about what God expects of us, requires of us. Hey, man, you say, well, I don't know anybody. Hey, there's people right here that love the Lord that develop an attitude that they've developed through tradition or through their own human reasoning. Hey, but I want to tell you something. If we don't pray consistently, and here's the thing. Prayer is not just asking for things. Prayer is surrendering to the will of God. When you really pray through, your heart gets tender. Amen. And you don't hold any grudges. And you're humble. And you realize how much grace the Lord has gave you in your life. And your voice is not as sharp. And are you listening to me? And your old stubborn attitudes about things. You know, a lot of people will have one attribute in their life. Amen. They just say, well, that's just the way I am. But here's the deal. God has a lot of fruits, that would counteract that if you would get those fruit of the Spirit in your life. Amen. You say, well, I'm just stubborn. That's the way my daddy was, and that's the way his daddy was. Amen. But listen, the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and goodness and kindness. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. These folks came to Christ. They had an ambition in their heart, but that ambition was completely backward, amen, from the God's will for their life. Amen. Is it possible that you and I could come to church with a preconceived idea of what we want out of this religious experience and it be the wrong thing altogether? Am I right or not? Now, look, watch this now. You know what? Good to have you, sis, back here. God bless you. I meant to mention, it's good to have the visitors here this morning. Man, are you glad you come? I hope so. Ooh, it gets better as it goes. Amen. You know what? There was a problem here, and I'm going to mention it. And it is a problem. It is a horrendous problem for all of us. You know what the problem was in these two disciples? Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Are you listening to me? I wonder, did you notice that right after Jesus went, I'm going to go into what Jesus told them. You know, Jesus told them, he said, look, you know, it's not mine to give. He said, God's got a plan, a divine providence. Amen. You got to fit the plan to sit here or there or the other. Amen. But, you know, after the other disciples overheard what was going on, you know what? They didn't like it very much. You read the scripture. They got really contentious about it. Well, who do they think they are? And you know, that's really what generates, that's the kind of thing that generates, amen, that division among, amen, when people try to have the preeminence over one another. Are y'all helping me preach this morning? Amen. Listen, amen. Here's mommy bringing her two little boys up there wanting the Lord to let them in because everybody knows they're the best boys in the whole town. If you don't believe him, just ask Bobby. Oh, y'all ain't getting this, are you? Praise God. My mom always brags on my preaching. Ain't never been one time that she said, son, you sure flopped tonight. Amen. Not one time. Amen. And she'll say, oh, you preach great tonight. And I won't pay a lot of it. I'll be going. She said, I know you think I'm just your mother, but I wouldn't lie to you. Huh? But there is a kind of a leverage I have there being her son. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I'll be out of town and somebody will say, hey, that boy, I heard you really preach good over there. I said, have you been talking to mom? But I'll tell you what, listen to me. We've got to get beyond those bloodlines. Are you hearing me? If we're going to do the right thing, amen, we can't just elevate. I feel like preaching. We can't just promote somebody because they're of our bloodline. Is that right or what? It's right is right. So, amen. The Lord told him. And you know, really, look, I'm not trying to discredit James and John, but they had the wrong attitude. It was an attitude of what is in it for me. Amen. Come on now. And you know what Jesus told him? Amen. He said, he asked him, are you willing to drink of the cup I drank? Amen. And then he told them, you're sure enough going to. And you know they did. James was the first martyr. Are you listening to me? He was the preacher, the pastor at Jerusalem Church, Brother Mac. He was the first one to die. John was the last one of them to die. Out on the Isle of Patmos. Amen. Out there for years. Bold and all. Kept in prison. Amen. Come on now. Yes, they did. But they didn't realize it at the time. And I tell you something, little church of mine. Amen. Listen, if we think we're going to be anything for God without bearing the cross and drinking the cup, we've got the wrong attitude. Amen. We're going to have to pay the price. Amen. To sit in the seat. Amen. Amen. Is that right or not? We don't get in by seniority, by our name, our birth certificate. We don't do it. Huh? Now I'm going to hurry. I'm going to preach to 15 deals. Is that all right? Praise God. The Lord said, are they going to drink of the cup? You see, they had the wrong concept. Are you listening to me? They had the wrong concept of what it meant to be. a child in the kingdom. I want to ask you, now I know I've got away from reading my text, so you just read it for yourself. You're right there. But what was it Jesus wanted them to get from this scripture? He told them, you've got to be a servant. You know, this is the same word. This word in here is the same word in a sense that they use for deacon in the New Testament. And you know, people get the wrong concept of what a deacon is. You know, most people think that a deacon is somebody that keeps tabs on the preacher. That ain't it at all. You know what a deacon is? A deacon is a servant. You know what they did in the New Testament? A deacon did in the New Testament? They waited on tables. They wore the apron, the servant's apron. That's what they did. They waited on the widows, who were widows indeed, took care of the prisoners. Amen. Did the ministries that aren't on the front line or on the back line. Are you listening to me, Breach? Amen. And that was what they did. They called out men full of the Holy Ghost. They had to be full of the Holy Ghost just to carry a basket of bread down to the widow's table. Oh, but we got the idea. Hey, man, you know what causes church splits? Hey, man, when you get a bunch of people, hey, man, that mommy comes in and wants their little darling to sit at the right hand of God. Are you listening to me? Or they want their way. Hey, man, help me preach a little. Maybe a little darling ain't involved. Maybe they're the little darling. And it's my way or the highway. Hey, man, come on now. And so we fight and push and pull and sow discord. Hey, man, come on now. When there's 100 things to do if you just be a servant. Amen. You know, we have that wrong idea if we join the church. Amen. Like the fellow, Brother Robert, told me this about years ago. He worked with a guy, amen, that came to Robert one day and told Brother Robert that he was going to quit his job. And he said, well, what in the world are you going to do? He said, well, I'm thinking about starting to preach. And Robert said he didn't know if a guy had ever been to church in his life. And he said, what do you mean, preach? He said, yeah, I said, I've been thinking about what a noble profession that is and how people marry folks and go down to the baptism and how they go to the hospital or there with people during the funerals. And he said, that just sounds like a type job that I'd like to do. And he said, this was the kicker right here. He said, and I also heard that it pays pretty good too. Amen. And Brother Robert said, I need to talk to you at lunch. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. Listen. Amen. Being a minister or being a child of God, John and James and Mama Salome, amen. Amen. Is not, amen, sitting in the chief seat in a kingdom. Amen. You're going to have to drink the cup and bear the cross. He just had said, take up your cross and follow me. And they forgot all about it. Amen. We go to the house of the Lord and we're looking for that chief place. Amen. Of notice and recognition. Amen. When the whole act of the God of heaven is to humble us down to where we can serve. Even the Son of God. Amen. Came to serve. Amen. Right or not? Well, I wish I could preach to you this morning. Let's read this together. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. Do you know what the word is? And I'm not trying to be mean to you. I love you like my own skin. Are you hearing me? But you know what the word is for not knowing? It's ignorance. Now, I know we use that word ignorance and as a slang. But if you don't know something, then you're ignorant of that thing. Now, don't look at me. Now me, for instance, I am ignorant about flying airplanes. If you get on a plane and I turn around in the captain's chair and say, hey, y'all, you need to say to that stewardess, he's too ignorant to fly this plane. Because I am. I wouldn't know where to start. You know, where's the gear shift, you know? You understand what? You know what? Jesus told these when they come up there with that attitude, and I want to tell you what we're battling. The reason the church has no more altitude is because of the attitudes. You come into church and you're asking a certain thing of the Lord that it's not even in the right spirit to even ask for it. Are y'all still with me? How many's with me this morning? He said, you don't know what you're asking. You do not know, and here it is, you're asking me to elevate your two boys over these others and give preeminence over them, and they are good boys, and I love them, but you are out of line. Oh, feel the Holy Ghost right here. How many say amen to this preaching this morning? Is this right? Will this help you or not? Huh? Well, you think this will help you? I mean, you can have your house as clean as a pen. You can have your dress and attire, and you really ought to. Amen? Because I'm telling you, if you look and act and love the things of the world, you're going to have gate trouble big time. You hear me? But you can have all of that in line and be so pious and holy. Amen? Are you listening to me? And have the wrong attitude. Amen? And the Lord say, you don't know what you're doing. Are ye able to drink the cup that I shall drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am? They said to him, we are able. He saith unto them, they didn't know what they were saying. Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Amen. And when the ten heard it, when the other ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Are you listening to me? Praise God. Amen. And then Jesus, and I can't go, I'll probably deal with this again. Amen. On this attitudes. Amen. But Jesus said, you boys have the same attitude that the Gentiles have. Amen. Cause they put one over the others and they rule over them with a rod of iron and a whip. He said, that ain't the way it is in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. How many wants to be on the same page? Let's stand. God bless you. I'm not going to keep you all day. You'll probably get a bad attitude if I keep you past noon here. Amen. Had 134 today. Amen. In the tithe and offering. Amen. How many thinks you need this sermon? Like to do a little attitude adjustment. Any of you parents ever look at your kids and say, you got an attitude problem, I'm getting ready to make an adjustment on it right here. How many knows where the adjustment triggers at, huh? Come on now. Hey, but I'll tell you, I believe sometimes we get the wrong attitude. And I'm not talking about just a prideful attitude like these boys had or Mother Saloma had. And you know, she loved them so good. How could they not be the number one? Amen. But, amen, you see, he said, God's got a divine plan. Are you listening to me preach? God's got a divine will and a plan, and they're going to go wherever God ordains them to go, and it's out of my hands. How many's willing to let God make the call? Amen. Oh boy, I don't know if y'all getting this or not, but I'll tell you what we need to do with our notions and our attitudes and our opinions. We need to measure them up by this book right here. See if our notions and our whims and our fables and just the way we always do things, see if it measures up to this book right here. Is that right or not? How many pray with me this morning and say, I'd like to have a good attitude? I don't want to be close to the Lord and not understand what he wants out of my life. I want to surrender myself to the Lord and let Christ be my example. Was Christ the greatest servant that ever walked this earth? Was he? Yes, he was. And he's our example. God tells a pastor not to be a lord over God's heritage. He's to be a servant. Yes, he's put in the position of authority. It has to be that way. But not in the arrogant, whip-cracking, neck-breaking taskmaster. Amen. He serves the sheep. He serves the people. He's a servant of the Lord. You're a child of God. You're a servant of the Lord. Amen. You yield to his will. It's not our way.